I just pulled my sermon out, and it was page 6. Maybe the Lord wants me to... Maybe he wants me to get right to the point for a change. Okay. I shared with the Wednesday night crowd about 2 years ago a story that I thought was real helpful in keeping the heart of the believers focused on Christ. So I share it with you, and a number heard, but this is worth repeating, I think. Once a church wanted to have people put their heart's trust in Christ and really turn to Him in any way possible for faith, for heaven, to realize the desperation of their own spiritual condition. And so they rented a sign to put out outside the church with movable letters on the sign. And they said, what can we put as a message on the sign so that people would come and want to believe in Christ and God would be glorified and people would be helped? So they came up with the phrase, Jesus only. And it was a great phrase because it focused in on the Lord, the head of the church, King of kings and Lord of lords, not just of individual hearts, but of all of life itself. So they're very excited, and they put the sign out and thought certainly by Sunday morning there would be many people come and want to hear about Jesus only. A storm came on Saturday night and blew and messed up the letters a bit on the sign. And the J and the E and the S blew away until the sign read the morning they came, us only. And they were very perplexed about that because nobody was rushing to the church for that good news, you know. I mean, they were a blessed people. But they knew, as the gospel says, even about John the Baptist, he came to bear witness to the light. But he himself was not the light. So they were trying the best they could to make sense of this. And they thought, well, maybe it's a message from the Lord, you know, that maybe the Lord wants us in our own life, in our own walk, to really focus back on Him for health and life. And to say, Jesus, let our hearts be toward you again as our first love. And so that's the message I want to bring to you this morning from Scripture and experience, that you might think back on what Christ means to you, not just today, but in the past. And you might say, boy, I really remember how the Lord, He meant everything to me at one time in my life. Couldn't get Him off my mind, couldn't get Him off my heart. And just wanted to serve Him and be yielded to Him in any way possible. And then time passed on, and the message for your own life, Jesus only, became us only. Maybe you've become self-centered in your following of the Lord. And sometimes groups of believers do this too. Very common, I find this among God's people. Jesus only can become us only. And the focus from the Lord shifts from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to the unhealthy focus of me, myself, and I. And how God wants us to get back to Him as a source of health. That's the point of the message. So consider Jesus, taste and see the Lord is good. And you'll find great refreshment for your soul. As you look back on church history or the history of individual believers, whenever they lost their way and began to be burdened with life or be burdened with many things that hit every heart, they have found great refreshment in the person of Christ. In fact, I think every revival that has happened or great renewal movement, it was because there were people who turned back again and said, Jesus is Lord. He's the King of kings, the Alpha and Omega. He's the bread of life for us, and our hearts need Him. So there is a hungry world around us, and maybe your heart's hungry today. And do you have the bread of life to pass on to a hungry world? Or at least to take the bread of life for yourself and say, God's very good, and He is the source of strength for my soul. So that's the focus today. And I think we can love the Lord this morning and follow Him as our lives go out this week as much as we ever did in our life. In other words, our closeness to the Lord doesn't have to be in the past. It can be today. And why is that? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So His desire is we abide in Him, follow after Him hard. And God will be a rewarder to anybody the Bible says, who earnestly seek Him. So ask for that earnest heart and to say, Jesus only, He's the one for me. I hope you walk away from the service with that message. I remember an old Presbyterian preacher preaching a series of sermons, and he was a master of understatement. His series of sermons was this: Christ is sufficient. You know, and I thought, well, if I was going to praise God, one word I wouldn't pick is sufficient. Sufficient is like something, well, it barely gets me through whatever I'm going through. But his point was to highlight the Lord. Christ is sufficient, he said, for heaven, for the gift of heaven, and for a fulfilled life here as we walk with the Lord. And so I want you to catch that and to trust Him and to experience that for your own heart today. If you took all the religions of the world and summed them up, there would be hundreds of world religions. And they all try to do some good, I'm sure. And they all try to teach some truth. You know, maybe they hit on it every once in a while. But someone has said there are hundreds of religions, but there's only one good news. And that good news is focused on who Christ is. He's the Son of God that would come to rescue us for forever and for our everyday lives. And William Culbertson, a preacher, said, if you took all the religions of the world and put them together, they may be summed up by one phrase. And that phrase is, something in my hand I bring. And I might try to bring my offering, or try to bring my prayers. If I pray fervent enough, will I be at peace with God? And maybe He'll take me to heaven. Maybe my service, my church going, my preaching. Good heavens, how would you like to rely on that? But nothing, or something in my hand I bring. That's the essence of religion. And you might feel like that's kind of where you're at with God. To bring something to God. If I just bring the right thing to God, you know, would He accept me? Would He accept me on the basis of what I bring? And yet the gospel, centered on Christ, says this: nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing in my hand I bring. Since we come to God with empty pockets, we're spiritually broke. No matter who we are, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, we come to the Lord all the time with empty pockets. And He's sufficient for our salvation. That's amazing. Not religion, not our, you know, commitments or our devotion. He is so sufficient. We end up saying Jesus only, and He's the one that puts our heart at peace with God. When you think of heaven itself, I'm still amazed that God would give us that gift of eternal life. When things go wrong in our home, and I try to say something that would help the family, I'll often say, not with sarcasm, but with pointedness, well, hey, through Christ, at least we're not all going to hell. You know, at least there's the gift of God that we know our destination, and it's involved in the person of Christ, and we have no hope outside of Him. And the more we thank Him for that and rest in Him, the more spiritual health comes to our soul than what we need. You think of what the Lord means to you even today as you sit. Any sense of unconditional love that you had throughout this past week, which is what the human heart needs, we were built for that, really came from Christ. The first time you probably heard, God loves you no matter what. He'll work with you right where you are. And your health with Christ, you know, it wasn't based on your spiritual gifts. It wasn't based on, again, your religious works. It was based on the person of His Son. Christ is sufficient. That's what John's gospel was all about. Back in the old day, if you wanted somebody to meet the Lord, you'd say, go home and read John's gospel, because there's so much about Him. I know one of the Sunday school teachers is going to teach on the titles of God in the Word within the next year. And the focus on God, how much health that'll bring. Jesus in John's gospel is called the Word. For the Greek folk, they use the word logos. For them, they got all, if somebody said logos, they were all like on the edge of their seats. And that was the logos was the reason for everything. It held everything together when life was falling apart at the seams. It was the logos, the reasons for everything clicking with some help and grace behind it. The word meant that God was the sovereign director of every moment in history. It might be affliction in your life. It might be blessing. But the word was in on it. And he was right at the center of it. How great is that? You don't have to face what you face alone. Christ is in the middle. And he does well. The law, we did the Ten Commandments, that came through Moses. What a precious gift. This is right, this is wrong. Here's the way I follow God. Here's the way it will get me in trouble. This is sin. But the Bible says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God wanted to come personally and help us, not just give us the rule book. I looked at my owner's manual this past week because I had to do the, so many thousand mile checkup. I was lost. I'm not mechanically inclined in the first place. And I'm reading the thing and I'm thinking, what in the world do I need? What does this book say I need? I'm giving it the best I can. It says, change your transmission fluid and change your transaxle fluid. So I went to the repairman and I said, is this the same? He said, yeah. I think he was trying to rip me off. But I didn't know any better, so if you need the $100 here, fix them, you know. I was desperate. The book could help me. But unless I had a person come who I could trust and say, let me show you what really needs to be done to this simple car, it's a relatively simple vehicle, I was lost. Your life, you have the book, which is so precious and true for all time and without error. Don't you need the person to come and help you? Say, let me help you. Follow this. Let me help you live as a forgiven person. Person who can love like I love. And when God came on a rescue mission for you, you know what? He didn't just give you some more rules. He didn't just throw some words at you and say, do the best you can. He came personally. Said, I'll come in. I'll be with you. I'll be the first and last in your life. And how we rejoice in him that he is that way for us. I'm still amazed that God would give us the gift of heaven and life forever. You know, in our life we have people come and go, which is very sad. Wish we could stay connected to all our relationships that are close. But when Christ comes, he comes to abide and to remain. And if your soul is full of unrest this morning, I'm telling you the truth that your health and your salvation is in the person of Christ and in nowhere else, in case you're looking for somewhere else. Again, it's not how well you're doing. It's not by checking out your own soul and your giftedness and performances and achievements. That's not who you are. You're more than that. You know, you're more than the sum total of how well you did last week. Your health is in Christ. And worse yet, not only if you check out your own soul, that's fine. If you begin to check out other people's souls, that'll really give you an Excedrin headache. That's not the point of your life. William gave me an amen. That it's Christ is sufficient for your salvation and for your health. Would you take him as such? I'm going to move quickly to Jesus only. Sufficient for a fulfilled life. That all your good gifts have come from him. And what your soul is going through can be renewed again in him. I thought of this example that I shared with a Bible study one time. When our hearts are in need of health from God, you know, he deals with us at the level of our will, our surrendered will, and all our thinking and emotions. And I noticed in my life, no matter what I'm going through, I can always do certain functions. For example, I can always balance a checkbook. And I'm thinking, why is that? You know, no matter where I'm at spiritually, I can always be rational. You know, there I am. Add the numbers, balance the ledger, and eureka. I should be totally thrilled. But at the same time, why can't I heal my breaking heart like that? Why can't I forgive somebody who I have something against, just as a rational thought process? You know, wouldn't it be great if it just added up the numbers and said, this is the way it should be, I guess. That was easy. I just used a little gray matter and I am a spiritual giant. Doesn't happen like that. It takes a heart to turn to Christ and for Christ to come and work at the level of our surrendered will and our attitudes and actions and work with us one step at a time. So he would come and give us a fulfilled life. If you're dry and thirsty, he'll be water for you. If you're weary and emotionally numb, he'll be strength for you. He'll be joy for you. It's in the person of Christ. We don't have this problem. I shared this at 8:30. If you are overly excited and out of balance with religious zeal, any of those here today? Christ will help you, because not only does he have zeal, he is humble and gentle in heart. He will make sure that if whatever you're excited about, you end up being excited about him, because that keeps you sane and healthy. But it's in the person of Christ. We're like the woman in the Gospels who, when she saw, she was sick for a long time with a physical problem. And she sees Jesus coming, and here's her thought: if I could just touch his robe, I'll be all right. I think that's why people come to church. You experience what you experienced the past week, and you come, and you say, I'll even come to church. I'll drive however far I need to drive, and sit through songs that sometimes I can sing and sometimes not. But if I could just have 5 minutes with the Lord himself, just touch the hem of his garment, I know it'll be well with my soul. And he could be that way for you. And it's not your reaching out that's so important, you know. It's him and your desperation for him. Tell you true, in my own life, you have the ups and downs and different things. And just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're on the Mount of Transfiguration every day. I remember fairly early in my ministry working in the church and wondering, I don't know where to go. I'm out of gas and I'm out of direction. And I came across a poem. This is a true story that another church had in their little track rack. And the poem was called Himself. Okay, it had to do with the Lord. So I'm picking up the poem and I'm reading it. And it hit me right where I need to be hit. The Himself again refers to the focus on Christ. It says this: once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. So I'm thinking, boy, bigger than my feelings and bigger than a blessing, there's Jesus and what he has to say. Once the gift I wanted, I need some gifts, Lord. Now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Sounded to me like that Presbyterian preacher's message: Christ is sufficient. And then down more it says, once it was my working, hence it shall be his. Once I tried to use him, now he uses me. Once the power I wanted. It scares me when Christians want power without God's love. You just want to zap everybody around you and make them real holy. Why don't you love them and then they'll see holiness in action? You see. Once it was the power, now himself alone. Now the mighty one. Once for self I labored, now for the Lord alone. And that hymn was written by a fellow named A.B. Simpson. Never heard of the dear man before. He is the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so to thank God for that kind of heritage, that people around us say, I focus on Christ. He's the health that my soul needs. How did the Alliance get started? What's a little bit about the heritage? And I'm not a big denominational flag waver, because I think the Lord is bigger than all denominations put together. But how did the Alliance get started? You know how it got started? It was pretty incredible. On Sunday afternoons, all kinds of different people would gather together who believed in Christ. Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, Baptists, probably Assembly, Catholic, whatever. They all gathered together and they said, we know this, we all believe in Christ 100%. And they thought, now how are we going to stay together? We have a goal of passing Christ on to others. But what's going to hold us together? What's going to bring help? Is it going to be our background? No, because it's all different. Is it going to be our style of ministry? No, because everybody has a different style of ministry. There's no health in style. That's the dumbest thing you ever heard. What about common ways of doing things? No. They said, Jesus. He'll be the one. And so the same fellow who writes himself, he writes the words we sang, Jesus only is our message. Jesus, all our theme shall be. We will lift up Jesus ever. Jesus only will we see. Whew. It's like, I'll join that team. You know, I'll be glad to fellowship with folks like that. And when your heart is aching, you know, where are you going to find health again as an individual? You're going to find it in style of things in your life. You know, it kills me, the world's advertisement. What is one of their big slogans? I hope I can remember it. Image matters, you know, or something. What? We're made in the image of God. How are you going to top that? But the person of Christ bringing health to a soul, he's faithful. He can do it. And God told all those people of all different backgrounds, you're welcome, by the way, whatever your background is. Jesus would like to turn you to him. And you say to God, thank you, Lord, for you. And you know what God says back? You're welcome. You're welcome. I love it that the Lord would welcome anybody who had a heart toward him. And that's how great he is. We can glorify him as such, enjoy him forever in your soul. You may be here today and say, oh, I've never trusted Christ. I like church. There's nice people there. And it's a beautiful building. You know, why wouldn't you want to go? At least there's something, you know, action-packed happens Sunday afternoon. Show up there. But do you know Christ as the bread of life in your soul? When you're hungry, turn to him. When others are hungry, offer the bread of life. He's the author and finisher of your faith. If you'd say, I put my faith in him for the first time, he'd say, come to me, I'll no way cast you out. He'd give you forgiveness of sin, a joyful purpose for living, and home in heaven. Only from him. Thank him for him. For the believer, plodding along or falling down or whatever you're doing, make him first. Make him your first love. Yeah, he loves you 100% and knows all about you. You know he's the best. Move from us only. As good as you feel about yourself and your fellow teammate, or as bad as you feel about them, move from that to Jesus only. That's where your health will be. And we have good food for people to eat. The bread of life, Christ. I'm going to show a few slides here and have a song that I think gives honor to Christ as a great Savior. And we mean this song as an honor to God and a building up of his people. It was written by and sung by Chris Rice. Some of the words of the song are these. When you're weak and wounded, come to Jesus. When burdens need lifted, sing to Jesus. When you're lonely, cry to Jesus. When you fall down, you're going to fall down this week, fall on Jesus. When love spills over and the wind is at your back, dance for Jesus. And when life is over, fly to Jesus. The images on the screen are to give glory to God and again to encourage his body. So could you surrender your heart afresh to him as someone he knocks on the door about this morning?
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, and cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Jesus spoke to believers and unbelievers alike, and it said, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I'll come in and be with you, and you'll be with me. And what health and life that we have with the Lord. So as your troubled soul is seeking for direction, remember, He's available. Jesus only is your message. Jesus, your theme can be. All your guilt He'll bear away. He'll exchange your self-righteousness for His righteousness. What a great Savior He is. Could we bow in prayer before we sing about the Lord, sing to Him? Father, I pray for every soul here, myself included, that we would again make You our first love. And there's no reason in the world we can't love You and trust and obey You, follow You now and as fervently as we ever did. And because You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So You're the great shepherd of the sheep. And we could just see You just shepherding us toward Yourself. We face this week, and You're marching on to the next victory that would exalt You. So bless each heart here. Might there be some who say, well, I know, I for the first time, I turn to Jesus as my Savior. I'll never be the same because my soul has found a resting place in Him. Might that be true for Again, those outside of faith who say, I trust him now, he's my Savior. And those inside the faith who say, I'm glad, my heart rejoices in the Lord always. And give grace to each one. In your name we pray, amen.